As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's a very busy Thursday today, but I want to welcome to the show the CEO of Newsmax, the one and only Chris Ruddy. Hey, Chris, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Well, Rich, always glad to be on with you and the good people of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations on the IPO, the stock. I mean, that was really a great day for you guys, ringing the bell. And Emma was there ringing the bell. I mean, congrats. It's a big deal.
Well, it's still a big deal. We just went public on the New York Stock Exchange March 31st. As you know, we talked about this before we went public. We were out raising money to become a public company. We went out to our readership, to people that watch Newsmax, to radio listeners around the country. People thought it was a bit of a joke, probably, that we were doing this. But we actually raised $300 million before we went public, which is huge, with the IPO and the preferred offering. And then we had just so much interest. The stock really skyrocketed on the IPO. It's come back to earth. It's still a big gain. You know, the market has fallen significantly. Big correction since we went public. And our stock is up 100 to 200% in that period. So it's been an amazing thing for us. And I think investors are basically saying, we like Newsmax and we believe it has a really strong future and has a very important mission considering what the media is like now in the United States.
So now when you're looking at the future growth of Newsmax, and you're thinking about all the various streaming platforms that are out there and all the ways people consume information these days, Chris Ruddy, what's the approach to get their attention and to get them to choose Newsmax over all the other sources that are out there?
Well, you know, it's easy. There's not a lot of barrier to entry, right? You can just download the Newsmax app on your phone and start watching anywhere in the world. You can just go on cable. We're on almost all cable channels. It doesn't cost you anything additional. We're on all the streaming platforms with Newsmax, too. So when you check it out, you make a decision. I like it. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. What we found is that people increasingly like it. I'll give you an example. In the first quarter of this year, Nielsen reported we had 34 million people tune in. 34 million. It increased by 50% over the same quarter last year. And you've been in the media, Rich, you know. You don't have 50% gains in the where it's 10 million more people easily. It just doesn't happen by nature that way. So I say it's a movement. I say people are coming to us. They like what they're seeing, starting with Greta Van Susteren and Carl Higbee at night. We go into shows like Greg Kelly and Rob Finnerty, Chris Plant. So we have this amazing lineup, and people like our content. And they'll say, what's the difference between Fox and Newsmax? Just watch us. President Trump has been very critical of Fox. I think he's a lot more praiseworthy of Newsmax. He says he likes it, encourages people to watch it. And I think it's not because we're like supportive of everything President Trump. We have a lot of balance, for instance, on the tariff issue. But we give him a fair shake. We're not out. And Fox had a history of trying to take him down several times, which I think was a mistake.
On the tariff issue, you're close with President Trump. You talk to him a lot. When do you think we're going to expect an actual announcement of a deal? Something that's going to be with another country, something that's going to make the market happy, something that's going to make a lot of American small businesses happy?
Well, I talked to him several times last week, and I see him a lot. I've known him for almost 30 years now. And, you know, at first I didn't like the idea of tariffs. I'm a free trade guy. But then I realized he's right. They're screwing us, China and all these countries. They have tariffs on our products, but we don't have tariffs on theirs. As President Trump once told me, you know, you go into New York and you see all these foreign cars all over the place. Go to Berlin and look out the hotel window. You don't see American cars on the streets of Berlin, or rarely, right? And so this is a phenomenon where our products are not being bought and sold in other countries, but we're buying everyone else's stuff. And the reason is there's tariffs oftentimes blocking our stuff. So what he wants is, President Trump wants, is free trade. He wants fair trade and free trade, and he's using the tariffs as a lever. It's a painful process because he's undoing 30 years of sellouts by Washington to these other countries. Getting back to your question, deals. I think they've had a couple so far in smaller countries where they've said that they're going to get zero tariffs or less tariffs. These things take a little while to negotiate, but I think already you've had, the White House says 100 countries have indicated they want a tariff deal with the United States. Yeah. So there's only about 170, 180 countries in the world. So I think the big one is China. Yeah. And they're the ones that have really abused us the most.
China is the problem, right, Chris Ruddy? I mean, that's the thing. And what I keep thinking of is, in December, this guy comes around at some international meeting and says, China has the ability now to infiltrate our digital infrastructure. So they can just hack into our water supply, our electrical grid, routers that are made in China, internet modems that are made in China. We're so dependent upon them. They get first crack at our technology because they get to see it because they're building everything over there. They're now, when they've said we're just going to turn off rare earth minerals, turn off rare earth metals, that's a problem because they could do that with anything. I mean, no matter what happens here, I think this has to be a wake-up call that we have to divest from China. If we need to make things overseas, we have to find other countries to do it. We just can't be relying on them anymore.
It's so dangerous. I mean, I think it was a wake-up call for President Trump during COVID because, and it really didn't get out in the press that much. But China, with the PPE, remember we needed all of those health supplies, drugs. China was slow walking a lot of it. And they were doing it purposefully to hurt Trump, the President Trump in the U.S. And I think that scared President Trump that we were so dependent on them for basic health equipment, supplies, and medicines. And so if you look at one of the things he's trying to do is trying to improve the medical industry here, pharmaceutical, we get more stuff done here. And I think that's a really smart thing. But we can't rely with the supply chains now on China. They're not a reliable partner. They were maybe 20 years ago, but it's not true under President Xi. So I think it's a smart thing he's doing. And I think, you know, he does want to have some tariffs. Like the president wants tariffs on cars. If you talk to him, he says, look, you can't have a military if they don't make cars or automobiles or equipment that you need for transport. So you have to have a car industry. And I think that's another smart thing. We're seeing, especially after COVID, how supply chains get broken, we get hurt. So we do need these industries.
Chris Ruddy's here. He's the CEO of Newsmax. It's great to have him back on the show. Let's talk about DEI and woke. And, you know, I think when President Trump won, it was the end of woke. And I think we've seen this cultural shift. But when I say the end, it's not the end, right, Chris? Because, I mean, it's just the Democrats are still going to hold on to it. They'd gladly bring it back if they could. Who do you see right now as the leader of the Democrat Party? Is it Gavin Newsom with his trying to understand bro culture? Is it AOC and Bernie Sanders going out there? Is it Nancy Pelosi and George Clooney and Barack Obama? Who's in charge?
That's a good question. I think we should do an article on that. That's, Rich, it's a good idea. Because, you know, I think every Democrat is so afraid of being considered the front runner right now. And to be, nobody really wants to take on directly President Trump. Maybe they know they'll be chopped up, so to speak, publicly. So I think they're afraid of taking him on right now. And it shows the disarray the Democrats are in. And President Trump is really just outmaneuvering them. So many fronts he's opening and so many of these executive orders and moving against the universities. I think they're in a state of shock, frankly. Yeah. And I think it's been a good strategy. I think the DEI people declared war on our traditional culture. And really the Constitution, it's unconstitutional to give somebody a job or promotion based on race. Their race, that's antithetical even to what Dr. King said, who said, don't base a person on this color of their skin. But what's gone on is just insane. And he's taking it on. We have a story on Newsmax.com right now. Secretary of State Rubio, they closed this global engagement center, which was global censorship of conservatives, radio shows like yours, media outlets like Newsmax. These groups like News Guards, founded by a Democrat, were getting government funding from the State Department, the Defense Crazy. Department. And they're there to tell ad agencies not to take our ads. That's DEI, too. And it's all part of it was an authoritarian Orwellian program to basically control society from a left perspective. Trump is just chopping down their trees one by one. I think it's a good thing. I hope he continues chopping down trees.
Yeah, I do too. I hope he clears forests, Chris Ruddy. I really do. Entire forests. And then sets fire so they can't grow back. And the other thing we got to do is we got to cut NPR and PBS and make them go away. My son, who's 10 the other day, I asked him, I said, Patrick, do you even know what PBS is? He doesn't know what it is. There's so many other options now for kids, and we do not need a public broadcasting service like to watch Sesame Street. I think it's owned by HBO Max anyway nowadays. NPR is just, I mean, it is left-wing propaganda geared towards, college-educated white women driving Subarus. There's no bias, there's no balance there whatsoever. And I'm tired of competing with a government-funded radio station here in Philadelphia. I think it's absolutely outrageous.
But it's outrageous. Why would the government fund a radio station that does what you do, which is offers points of view and news and information, yet they fund them, but they're not funding you. You have to go out and get ads to support your point of view. I mean, it's so bizarre, and it's a sense of entitlement by the left. Voice of America served a great purpose during the Cold War, but the idea that you need journalists to criticize America at government expense, you know, they don't go. I don't know if Voice of America is going into Venezuela criticizing Maduro, or they're going into Iran, the mullahs going out. They do a lot of criticism of Donald Trump at Voice of America. I mean, it's just like we have to pay for it. So I think this reevaluation, especially when we have a lot less money to spend, is a good thing. And I think the president's on the right track.
Also, NPR is boring as hell with that constant monotone voice that they have. Every single host sounds exactly the same. It's also boring. So that's another reason to get rid of it, Chris Ruddy. Congratulations on all the success.
They need government funding because they offer a poor product.
Right. Exactly. They could never make it in the private sector like Newsmax is doing. So congratulations on all your success. Congratulations on the IPO. Thanks for having me on the channel. I always appreciate being on. It's always an honor. So come back and visit us again, okay?
And tell folks, go to NewsmaxInvest.com, read all the material, and see if they want to join in our news revolution.
Thank you, Chris Ruddy.
Thank you, Rich. Really enjoyed it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue, we're waiting several different updates from law enforcement and also from the president. So it's going to be a busy afternoon. We're just getting started. It's hard to believe it's only the 4 o'clock hour, and we have a long way to go. And by the way, tomorrow I'm actually off because I'm going to be at Fox. I'm happy. I don't have a problem with the fact that you've got two great conservative networks. I think it's a good thing for America. I really do. I think it's good. It's better to have more options for people. It's not a bad thing at all, in my opinion, anyway. But I will be there tomorrow, and I'll be doing Jimmy Fallon's show and then Ingram Engel. So Matt Rooney's going to be in for me tomorrow, just so you know. But I will be working, but just not on the radio. Be working on the TV side, but not the radio. All right? Just so you know. But next week, different story. Next week, I'm going to the People's Republic of California because I'm sitting down. I'm doing the PragerU Book Club, and we're going to talk about, speaking of Orwell, we're going to talk about Animal Farm. And I'm going to give my thoughts on the Orwellian masterpiece that warns us that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. It's a great, great tale warning us of communism. And I'll relate that to what I see happening in our society today. So I'm looking forward to having that conversation. I just got the confirmation from them. 8 a.m. Pacific time, Wednesday morning in Los Angeles, California. So I'll be there for that. We decided to just make a week out of it with the kids and just do spring break because they're off next week. And I was tempted. I'm not going to lie. I was really tempted to just go by myself. And but then I also, you know, thought that would might have other problems for me, like the end of my marriage. So I thought, all right, we'll just take the whole kid. We'll take the whole family. You know what I mean? So we're all going to be flying out there. So I'll be out there for a week. But we'll come back. And then you'll get to hear the PragerU Book Club interview with Michael Knowles. So I'm really excited about that. It's going to be fun. They did. It's really, I'm glad they're bringing works like that to a new generation of people, because I don't know how many people are reading Animal Farm in 1984 in schools. I really don't. I don't know. My kids aren't old enough yet to be exposed to those books. Fahrenheit 451 is another one. What they try to do is they try to have conversations about some of the classics. I wanted to pick the Federalist Papers, but Ben Shapiro got to that first. I was bummed because that's my favorite book, the Federalist Papers. And the only rule they had was I had to pick an author who was dead. So I had to go with somebody who was dead. I gave them three options, three different books that I would love to talk about. And then they chose Animal Farm. And I think it's really, as we watch a Democrat socialist named Bernie Sanders run around with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and talk about openly advocating for a society that redistributes wealth, people need to understand the problems that that brings to a society. Because unfortunately, they many times hear this, it sounds great. It sounds great, just like the animals in Animal Farm. It all sounds great. Practical reality, not so much. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing that. I think if we can warn, I would have done 1984, would have been my first pick, but that was already taken as well. But I think if we can warn people about the power of fascism, communism, socialism, all these isms are very similar. You know, fascism and socialism and communism, they're very much the same. They're just different angles, but it's all along the same idea of an all-powerful state, an all-powerful centralized government. You see that in communism, you see that in socialism, and you see that in fascism as well. Ultimately, you have to have a strong, centralized form of government. That's why I laugh when people suggest that Donald Trump's some kind of a fascist, because he's looking to divest the power of the executive. One of the things he's trying to do is to shut down an entire agency, which is the Department of Education. Fascists don't do that. What fascists do is they wind up consolidating power and then taking power from the states, taking power from and then having all the institutions run through them. Whether you're Hitler, you're Mussolini, you're Joseph Stalin, it's all the same. Or Franco, still dead. It's all the same. It's the same idea. One guy in charge of everything, and then they kill a lot of people. They always do. So that's going to be fun, too. Listen, I want to tell you about Dr. Mike Venneri, a great guy, great friend, and the master of dental implants, the master of giving you the beautiful smile you deserve. I would love for you to go see Dr. Mike Venneri. He is the big story sponsor of the day, and I appreciate all of his great support. And now that it's springtime, it's officially spring. It's beautiful out today. Wasn't it gorgeous out today? I got to walk for the first time since December. I was actually walking around. It was so nice. Got to start thinking about your lawn. And when choosing a lawn care company, I want you to choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America, because you're going to get greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. That's the Natural Lawn of America promise. And Natural Lawn of America, because their program is customized to your lawn, your specific lawn. They don't just drive around and spray chemicals and leave and go to the... No, that's not what they do. What they do at Natural Lawn of America is a customized treatment plan for your lawn based on safer organic fertilizers, insect control, weed control that actually works, and the results are guaranteed. Plus, you get free seeding every year. free seeding every year. You just call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. And that overseeding makes such a difference when it comes to your lawn. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. You want to go with the local family-owned company who gives you great results. And I can tell you, from using them in two different yards, the approach has been different with both yards. So that's what I'm telling you. It's customized for your lawn. And you'll see that when the technician comes out and writes a detailed report of what he did and why. That's the Natural Lawn of America difference. 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Who is that, Justin?
That is Louis Prima.
Ah, beautiful. Very nice. Well done. Well done. In honor of the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, who's in D.C. today. I want to thank my buddy, Dr. Steve Cancel. He is the podiatrist at Cooper who has been taking great care of me along with Dr. Malilli. Two great guys, two great doctors who saved my foot after going to the butcher, the non-Cooper butcher doctor who I almost lost my foot. It's not a joke. Dr. Malilli, back in January when I had the staph infection and I was in the OR and he said to me, today we're here to save your foot. And then Dr. Malilli went out on, he's getting some work done on his hip. So then Dr. Steve Cancel took over and he's been great. So now I'm finally I can put some weight on my foot. This has been going on since December 6th. I was in the hospital for a week and I was on IV antibiotics for 6 weeks after that. So Malilli and Cancel are great guys, great podiatrists. And then I met this great resident today, Dr. Zaidi. She was wonderful, too. She's a resident of Cooper. See, I should have just went there in the first place. You think I would, too. You think I would, considering that I know people there? Like both of the CEOs who fill in for me on the radio sometimes. And one of them's been my friend since I was 17 years old. But yeah, I just didn't think about it. But I can tell you, after this experience, make sure you choose carefully, even on little things. Even on the little things, like getting a bunion removed. Because holy cow, can a little thing become a big thing really, really fast. It should have been a quick, you know, back on your feet, but nope. So anyway, thank God we're good. Couple more weeks in a boot, and then I gotta do physical therapy. I'm out of the woods totally yet in terms of all that, but I'm out of the woods with the infection, the bone's healing great. They had to do they took bone from my ankle and they had to do a bone fusion. They had to fuse my toe because they had to take out the implant that butcher doctor who should never have a medical degree or license put in my foot in the first place, the non-Cooper doctor. So then they had to rebuild the bone. And that's what we're doing now. But I haven't used my ankle or anything like this. I gotta do PT for all that. A little pain in the neck, you know what I mean? But it's all right. It's good. Making good progress. I'm just glad it's done. It'll be done by the time fully into summer, and you know what I mean? So that's good. That's good stuff. We're waiting this update from officials on the shooting at FSU. It's obviously really big story, but I wanted to mention something else to you, too. The craziness of the left in this country right now, the absolute freaking craziness. There's a bill in Colorado. Listen to this now. Would force judges to consider misgendering a form of coercive control, custody cases. So let's say you get in a divorce, going through a divorce, you know what I mean? And there's a battle over custody for the kids, which happens pretty often. In this Colorado law, this bill would say that if a parent does not go with the preferred gender of the child, not the biological, the child, then the parent could lose custody of the kid. And our friend Aaron Turr, who's a First Amendment attorney with the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression right here in Philadelphia, FIRE, he said this bill risks punishing parents simply for disagreeing with the state's preferred views on gender. It's very scary. Very scary proposition. And, you know, a lot of times these divorces get ugly and custody battles are real. And if they start using this metric, that's going to be very scary. But let's jump in. The police are giving an update on the FSU shooting right now. Terrible day.
Main campus of Florida State University in Tallahassee, shooting multiple individuals in the vicinity of the student union building. FSU police responded immediately, engaged, neutralized, and apprehended the shooter. Two victims of deceased are deceased, and five individuals have been transported to a local hospital with gunshot wounds. The shooter has also been transported to a local hospital. The two deceased are not students. The shooter is believed to be a current FSU student. I do not have additional information on the shooter's identity at this time. Students who need assistance can go to the Donald L. Tucker Center, where the university is providing counseling, health care, and other support services. Family members are also able to go to the Tucker Center for assistance. Students, faculty, and staff are asked to call their loved ones as soon as possible to update them on their status. The student union and the surrounding area is still considered an active crime scene. Individuals should avoid the area. Students should not return to the student union to retrieve personal property at this time. Students may return to their residence halls, but they should otherwise stay indoors on main campus to allow first responders and university staff to do their jobs and respond to those needing assistance. Students may depart campus for the weekend. All classes have been canceled through Friday. Before I turn this over to Chief Revel, I want to thank all the brave men and women of the FSU PD for responding immediately to the scene. I also want to thank the responding agencies who have provided assistance to FSU today big time, including the Tallahassee Police Department, the Leon County Sheriff's Office, the Florida Highway Patrol, Leon County Emergency Medical Services, FDLE, and all other responding agencies today. We really appreciate your support. That's all the information I have at this time. We'll have additional update for you later today. Chief Revel.
Police updating on the shooting at Florida State University today.
Good afternoon. I am Chief Revel with the Tallahassee Police Department. As the shooting occurred today, our officers, as well as every single other officer in this city and county, responded immediately to this scene. Once on scene and once we began working through what was occurring and what we were working, in consultation with FSU, Tallahassee Police Department was asked to take lead on this. So we will be the lead for this investigation, and both the officer involved shooting portion of this as well as the homicide portion of this. I will come up after the last speaker and entertain just a few questions, but needless to say, we have multiple crime scenes. This is a very large area we're covering. We have hundreds or thousands of witnesses. And again, this is an active, ongoing investigation. So the information that we will be allowed to release right now may be fairly limited. I'll answer what I can at that time. But I will assure you that as soon as we can, any information that becomes available, we will make that available to you. One of the things in the process, and again, understand that this is an ongoing active investigation. So things are happening as we are standing here and as we are speaking. We have identified the shooter, obviously. He's at the hospital. So with more on that, I'm going to allow the sheriff to come up and speak on that portion of it.
Thank you, Chief. As Chief Revel indicated, I'm Walt McNeil, Leon County Sheriff. First and foremost, let me express our gratitude to the responding law enforcement agencies in this community. Our citizens should feel some degree of comfort knowing that your law enforcement agencies are going to respond and do exactly what we did in this case, that is bring the offender to justice and to make sure that we do what we can to make sure we lock him or her up. Let me say to you, this is obviously a heinous crime. Our deepest condolences go out to the FSU family, the families of the students who are here. And we understand that you all have been devastated because of this person's actions. The question as it relates to who is the shooter. The shooter is 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, and he's a son of a Leon County Sheriff deputy. Our deputy, Deputy Eichner, has been with the Leon County Sheriff's Office for over 18 years. She has a tremendous job that she's done. Her service to this community has been exceptional. Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene. And we are continuing that investigation into how that weapon was used and what other weapons perhaps he may have had access to. The alleged shooter was also a long-standing member of the Leon County Sheriff's Office Citizen Advisory or Youth Advisory Council. So he has been steeped in the Leon County Sheriff's Office family, engaged in a number of training programs that we have. So it's not a surprise to us that he had access to weapons. This event is tragic in more ways than you people in the audience could ever fathom from a law enforcement perspective. But I will tell you this, we will make sure that we do everything we can to prosecute and make sure that we send a message to folks that this will never be tolerated here in Leon County, and I dare say across this state and across this nation. Thank you. Let me bring up the FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Hubert Reynolds.
Good afternoon. My name is Hubert Reynolds, and I'm the Acting Special Agent in Charge of the Jacksonville Field Office. I want to echo those standing with me what a horrific crime this is, and we stand with you fully. We have an office here in Tallahassee, and we are fully engaged with providing any resources that we can bring to bear to help with this investigation moving forward. We've established a digital tips media line where you can upload photos, videos prior to and during the incident. If you're there from social media, please upload all of that. I will give you now the website address. You can upload any tips to www.fbi.gov/FSU shooting. Again, that's www.fbi.gov/FSU shooting. I want to assure you that we are going to bring every available resource to be able to help the community and the local people here. Thank you.
Good afternoon,
everyone.
Briefing
today,
Richard
McCullough,
President of Florida State University. This is a tragic day for Florida State University. We're absolutely heartbroken by the violence that occurred on our campus earlier today. Two have died. Five other innocents are being treated for their injuries. We're working to support the victims, their families, and everyone affected by this traumatic event. I just returned from the hospital. The First Lady and I met some of our students who are the victims. Our hearts go out to our students and the victims of this terrible tragedy. I have to say that our law enforcement, our FSU police officers, are absolute heroes in this regard. The call went out, someone called it in, and immediately they responded to the scene and immediately neutralized the suspect and prevented this from being a bigger tragedy. I want to thank them so much for what they do to try to keep our students safe. I want to thank all the law enforcement partners, FSU Police, Tallahassee Police, Leon County, Sheriff's Department, Florida Highway Patrol, and Florida Department Law Enforcement, and all other responding agencies for their rapid and courageous response. I want to thank everybody that came out to visit with the students and help us and to be here today for this press conference, and I appreciate so much the support that you're all providing to our university and to our students. We're fully cooperating with the investigation, and we defer to law enforcement as they continue their work. I'd also like to thank all the healthcare providers at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. They're treating and providing outstanding care to our victims. Right now, our top priority is safety and well-being for all the people and our campus. As it was said, classes are canceled. The main campus today and tomorrow and all FSU athletics events on Tallahassee are canceled through Sunday. We also want to tell you that counseling and psychological services are available to students, faculty, and staff, and anyone that needs that should call 850-644-2003. We're also providing support for faculty and staff through our Employee Assistance Program. And so if you need any help, please, please reach out. We'll continue to communicate with the campus community as we know more. This is a deeply emotional time, but we're all here to support each other. We're going to do everything we can to support our community. We're a strong and united community. We're family. And so we'll take care of all of you. And we'll get through this together. Thank you.
All right. At this time, we will take a few questions. Let me just reiterate. This was a massive response, a massive response of law enforcement personnel. Our federal, state, local partners have continued to build relationships that long preceded this event. And that came into great play today in the seamless way that we all came together to work these events. But I know you'll have some specific questions. I will tell you right now, we are not going to talk about the victims other than the fact that there are six of them, two additional deceased, and then the suspect. So nine total persons. Yes, sir.
Have you all been able to talk to the suspect at all? Any idea about motive?
The suspect invoked his rights not to speak to us.
Chief, do we know if the weapon that was used was his parents' service weapon? And if so, what are the rules around storing service weapons?
Right. No, that's a good question. This weapon was a weapon that the deputy previously used. A lot of times, many agencies, mine included, when we transition to a new handgun, the officers are allowed to purchase the handgun they used prior. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but I believe that's the case here. This was a handgun that deputy used prior to them transitioning to a new handgun, and so it was her personal handgun.
Is she on been put on leave, or?
The sheriff would have to speak to that. Okay.
We will do a thorough investigation to look at all aspects of it. There's no cause right now that we are aware of that require her to be placed on any kind of suspension or otherwise.
Yes, ma'am.
We've been hearing stuff that it was a deputy who was a school resource officer. Is that true?
That is correct.
Yes. Chief, who was injured, who was killed, or any of those members of law enforcement?
I'm sorry?
So anyone who died in the shooting or was injured in the shooting, were any of them members of law enforcement, whether it be the...
No, they were not. They were not. Yes, sir.
When law enforcement arrived, did the suspects engage them, or did he surrender immediately?
No, they challenged him and ended up shooting. He did not comply with commands and was shot.
Did he fire officers?
I do not believe he fired at officers.
We've heard that Phoenix may be autistic. Are you able to confirm that detail?
I do not have that detail.
Is there an ID of the victims yet?
I'm sorry?
An ID of the victim.
We're not releasing any of the victim information at this time.
Was the officer aware of any behavioral conditions or concerns or threats prior to this incident?
We were not.
How quickly did officers arrive on scene from the 911 call to want to engage the suspect?
We will get you that information. I don't have that currently. I assume that would be a question that was asked. But, I mean, it was almost immediately. That FSU, obviously, this is their campus, and they patrol it very well. So they were on scene almost immediately, engaged almost immediately. And then everyone else, again, was a massive, very quick response.
Chief,
I know that you said that the two deceased were not students. Do we know of those five that were injured or any of them students?
Again, we're not releasing any information on the students at this, on the victims at this point.
Specifically, what firearm did he use?
I'm sorry?
What kind of firearm was he using?
It was a handgun.
What type of handgun?
I don't know what type of handgun that was. It was probably a 40. I don't know.
Yeah. Chief, I heard a report that a shotgun was also recovered on campus. Was that used in the shooting?
We do know that he had a shotgun with him. We have not confirmed anyone was shot with a shotgun at this point. But again, that could change. Again, there are hundreds and hundreds of witnesses, and as we piece all of this back together, information will come to light that we may not have at this point. So I do not believe so at this point.
We'll take one more question.
Will any kind of radio dispatch or any logs be released in the near future?
I'm sorry, say again.
Will there be any body cam footage or radio dispatch logs or incident reports being released anytime soon?
We will work with the state attorney's office, which we always do, in pulling together all the information, all the investigative evidence from this case, and in collaboration with State Attorney Campbell, we will make that determination. Obviously, after the case is over, we will certainly, it all becomes available at that point. But as to what we can and will release at that point, like I said before, we're very open, transparent on these things. Again, the officers did an incredible job. But again, some of this is very horrific. This is a horrific incident. And so we will, again, collaborate with the state attorney's office and determine which of that evidence could be released or will not be released. But again, I'll let you know that as soon as we make that determination. So thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here. And just let me reiterate what's already been said. The collaboration between all of the agencies, the federal, the state, the local, all of our first responders, our EMS personnel, our fire department, again, just a massive response, immediate treatment to the victims that were there, the transport of them, again, it was a very seamless response to this tragedy. And that goes to the training that we all do repeatedly, individually as agencies and together. The incident command came together very, very quickly. And again, I could not be more proud of the response and more horrified at the act. So thank you very much.
Can you please just real quick verify again one more time the number of people injured and dead? Our number was 8. And describe what you say now.
Sure. Total number of 9. That includes the suspect. So there are 6 victims that are injured, 2 victims that are dead, and 1 suspect. And that's let me just reiterate this because I'm not sure we said this. We have no reason to believe at this point that he did not act alone. So there is no further threat to our community at this point. So thank you very much.
Okay, there you go. That's the update from police and horrible situation. Shooter, son of a sheriff's deputy, just heartbreaking, absolute tragic situation in Florida. All right. We'll come back. A lot more to get to as we continue along the show here today. And we'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Continuing along here today, playing Italian music in honor of Giorgia Meloni, the Prime Minister of Italy. Italia, who's here at the Oval Office today meeting with President Trump, talking trade, talking a lot of things with the president. And he mentioned their strong partnership today when he spoke from the Oval Office. But obviously, the shooting on the campus of Florida State University kind of took center stage. But the president said a lot of things today regarding trade and negotiations and where they're hoping to come out with a deal and some deals to be announced. And I'll get into some more details with you on that in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. But I was thinking about this, you know, obviously, when you're talking about all the situations of the day, politically speaking, you think about who the Democrats are going to have. Like, this is a conversation I had earlier with Chris Ruddy. Who do they have? Who's going to be their guy? Is it this Chris Van Hollen guy who's down in El Salvador advocating for the release of an MS-13 gang member? Is it that guy? Is he angling for president? What about Count Grand Sangelo Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band, Cory Booker? because he's apparently going down there too. I've not heard from the guy. I mean, I would not hear from him personally, but I mean, normally Booker, you can hear him 5 miles away, so loud and grandstanding. But Chris Van Hollen today in El Salvador, whining about not having access to see this guy, Garcia, who's a resident of El Salvador, not Maryland, because he's in the country, was in the United States illegally. But here's Chris Van Hollen grandstanding earlier today. Take a listen.
So I do intend to keep at this until we ensure that Mr. Obregón Garcia has his rights to due process, which is what the courts of the United States have called for. They have said that his abduction is illegal.
Abduction.
And they have called upon him to be brought back to the United States.
Voy a seguir en esto mientras no el señor Abrego García no tenga su debido proceso porque las cortes de los Estados Unidos han establecido que fue captado ilegalmente y que tiene que regresar a los Estados Unidos.
So I will keep at this, but I can assure you that while I may be the first senator and first member of the United States Congress to come here to El Salvador in this case, I certainly will be not be the last. There'll be many more coming.
There'll be many more coming, many more Democrats coming to go advocate for the release of this guy. I just want to point something out. He had due process when they said he had to be deported from the United States of America. He had his due process. He had his day in court. He actually had multiple days in court. The issue is not whether or not he was going to be deported. The issue was whether or not he was going to be deported to El Salvador. The Democrats are playing a mind game here. They're trying to trick everybody into believing that this guy never had any due process, that he was picked up off the streets and taken and thrown in a different country. That's not what happened. He had due process, and the judge ruled he had to be deported. There was a deportation order on him. So I find it to be absolutely ridiculous that we're standing here acting like this guy did not have his day in court. You know, I'm a huge advocate of civil liberties, as you know. This guy had his due process, and he's not even a United States citizen, and he had his due process. Now, there are United States citizens in this country who are in prison, and they're probably innocent. You know, the Innocence Project works to free them all the time. I have not heard the attention given to any of these individuals like I've heard the Democrats give to this MS-13 gang member who's been deported to El Salvador. Have you? Well, I mean, see, there's people out there who are American citizens in jail who say they're innocent. I have not seen senators grandstand. All right, big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. More of the president with Giorgia Meloni. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.